Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And of course, we are in a holiday week, Independence Day, just 2 days away. I don't know how many of you are actually at work, how many of you are on vacation, how many of you are sleeping in and hopefully catching me later on podcast. But if you are getting out and starting your day, well, the song is right. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be warm, but not too hot. It's not going to be too humid. There's a nice breeze. And we're going to have weather like this today and tomorrow. And then it's going to get a little bit rougher heading into Independence Day with the humidity on the rise. I was thinking to myself, well, what am I going to do on Independence Day? What am I going to do? Because I'm probably not going to go do a bunch of parades and things like that. And the last couple of years, I've gone out and, well, as long as the weather's been okay, I've taken a hike, taken a walk, gone somewhere, because I figure those are days people are doing other things. It won't be as crowded at some of those places. So maybe I'll go pop out and do something like that for a little while at least. I did, I mentioned yesterday, I picked up a new bicycle, a second bicycle. I have one that I keep here at the station for riding up and down the bike trail. And I just got a cheap mountain bike. But now I've got to get the thing to put it on the trunk of my car because I tried fitting it in the back seat to get it home. I picked it up from Facebook Marketplace. Very short money. Put it this way, I'll have to pay more for the thing to put it on the back of the car than I did for the bike. And it's not, you know, it's not anything, I'm not going on the trails with this thing, but, you know, ride around Borderland State Park on it or something. But just trying to get out there and be more active, and hopefully you get a chance to be outside and do some of those things today as well. So we were talking earlier, of course, the big news here in Massachusetts is the Karen Reed mistrial. Although the DA's office did say they will retry the case. You know, where does it go from here? We can talk more about that. We can also talk about the closing of Freestones, which had only really reopened a few years ago. I think it was 2021 that it reopened after being closed for a while, or maybe that's when it closed for a little while. But anyway, it's basically been a downtown staple since the 1970s. Then we also had the situation, too, where the folks at Minerva's Pizza in Fairhaven are no longer there, that it's going to be under new management. So that has changed as well. People were very concerned that it was closing for good over the weekend, but it turns out that it'll just be new management. The other local story that I had out yesterday on WBSM.com and on the app was the progress on the new pedestrian bridge being built from Purchase Street to the Whale's Tooth lot for South Coast Rail. The metal arches have been put onto the bridge and you can start to see it's taking shape. You can start to see what it'll look like when it's completed. And it's one thing when you see the artist rendering and you say, wow, that looks really good. I can't wait to see that in person. When you start to see it happening in real life, that's when it really hits you. And you're like, oh, yeah, that is going to be a good-looking bridge. And I can't believe the negative comments that that story is getting on social media. Well, they can build a bridge, but they can't fix the roads. First of all, who is they? What are you talking about here? Because they, if they is the state, which the MBTA is, you know, part of, they, the state, send you lots of money every year to fix the roads. And if you think they is the city, well, the city's not building the bridge, and the city just increased the amount of funding that they put into the road work. So that they is fixing the roads. And the state fixes state roads, such as Route 18. And then, you know, someone else who felt the need to point out, it doesn't matter if it's the MBTA, it's still taxpayer dollars. Right. But it's taxpayer dollars from across Massachusetts. So it's people in Worcester, in the Berkshires, and North Shore, and on the Cape who are chipping in for this. The same way you have chipped in for years to the MBTA service and structures for their parts of Massachusetts. You're finally getting what you've been paying for everybody else to have for decades. And what did you want to happen? Did you want there not to be a bridge? Did you want people walking across Route 18 to try to get to the train station? If you were going to ride the train, would you want to walk? Let's just say for some reason you were in that area of Purchase Street and you had to take the train. You see the station right over there, but you would have to walk all the way down to this bridge or walk all the way down to that bridge. And by the way, the pedestrian bridge that was over by Melville Towers is no more, so you can't use that one. So you'd have to walk down to Elm Street and cross Route 18 there, then walk all the way back. And then others who say, well, why do they have to build a $21 million bridge? Well, they weren't going to originally. They were going to build an $8 million bridge that Mayor Mitchell said was just didn't look good. And so he fought to have something that would look good and become a symbol for the city. And so this is what you get. And then there are still the people who are commenting, why do you need a pedestrian bridge anyway when the train is never coming? The train is coming. As I said earlier, it's coming a little bit later than they originally told us, but it's still coming. Folks have seen the train out on the tracks being safety tested. You are getting rail service. Whether or not you want to believe it'll be used or not is a different story, but you are getting rail service. If the Celtics repeat as champions in 2025, you will be able to take the T, the MBTA commuter line, from New Bedford to Boston for that rolling rally. So it is happening. We might as well do it right. And speaking of the Celtics, that was the other big story of the day. It was announced yesterday that the Majority ownership of the Celtics is up for sale. This group that came together in 2002 to purchase the Celtics, Wick Grousbeck, his dad, Irv Grousbeck, Steve Pagliuca, Bob Epstein, they all came together to buy the Celtics from Paul Gaston, who nobody even knew Paul Gaston was willing to entertain a sale. We thought we were stuck with him forever. Dan Shaughnessy used to refer to him as Thanks Dad because he was given the team and he didn't really want to invest in it. These guys came in and they invested in the team. They spent money. They paid luxury tax. Look at them now. They're one of the top salary teams in all of the NBA. A year after signing Jaylen Brown to the biggest contract in NBA history, they broke that record by signing Jason Tatum yesterday to the biggest contract in NBA history. Well, I guess Saturday's when they can really sign, but they agreed to. They extended Derek White. They've extended Jrue Holiday. They took on Kristaps Porzingis' contract. They are building a consistent championship caliber team here, and that's going to be very attractive to potential buyers, but it seems like Steve Pagliuca has plans to try to buy the team completely himself, which I think would be a good thing. And what people loved about this ownership group is they were local guys and they were passionate fans. And Wick has a pretty interesting story. There was a TV show that was on last year. Well, maybe it was earlier this year. Might have been in the fall. I forget what it was on. It was on NBC. It had John Cryer on it. And on that show, John Cryer is the divorced dad whose ex-wife, they still have a very friendly relationship. They're co-parenting their children, and they still get along great. See each other every day. But the ex-wife went on to marry the owner of the Celtics. And on the show, they had the character actually owning the Boston Celtics. And that's based on Wick Grousbeck's life. Wick and his wife, Corinne, divorced. They still maintained a good relationship. And they raised their children together. And then he started dating this other woman who had an ex-husband. And then basically it turned into the story that they were then pitched as a sitcom. They were talking to a TV producer once at a party. And, you know, I've got a story for you. I got a show that would make a good sitcom. And he explained the situation. And the TV producer said, yeah, let's work on this. And it didn't last. I believe it got canceled. But it's still a little interesting side note to the Wick Grousbeck story. When they first took over ownership of the team, too, they brought the Celtics to New Bedford to an event at the Boys and Girls Club. Now, the Celtics have a long-standing partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. They came down, they did an event where they brought down, I remember Mike James was there. I think Dana Barros might have come, and I know JoJo White was there. I went and covered it for the Standard Times. And they came and talked to the kids and, you know, did some drills and stuff and took photos and gave out Celtics gear and all that kind of stuff. And I remember Wick drove down here in his Maserati, parked his Maserati outside the New Bedford Boys and Girls Club. And I was like, I don't know. Is that like the everyman look you're trying for here? But I was talking to Wick afterwards. And he said, you know, we're committed to making New Bedford, you know, part of the Celtics community. And this is the first of many times that we'll be down. I don't think they ever came down again. Oh, yeah. Lucky was there, too, the mascot. But I don't think they ever came down again. Because I still am on the press list for all the different events they do in the community, and it's never down this way. So maybe the next owner will And if it's Steve Pagliuca, maybe he'll commit to this area more. 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages on the open line. Send app chat messages on the WBSM app and send open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I got an app chat message here from Sunny in Acushnet who says, if I was a juror due to the testimony of the forensic pathologist and the lack of any bruising on John O'Keefe and Proctor not pursuing owners of the house that night, wondering where all the blood went, lack of securing the scene, pursuing dog bite and scratches, why didn't the Commonwealth seek witnesses themselves for all of this? I would say not guilty, not proven that he was hit. They had to prove to me that she hit him. They also had hearsay by the woman. We shall see next time around. I wonder how they will even find a jury now. And that is the main concern I have. How will you find a jury? Because I think everybody who pays attention to the news at all in Massachusetts heard about this case. Now, it doesn't have to be that they have not heard about the case. It has to be that they haven't formed an opinion about the case. But that's still going to be, they're going to try to impanel the jury. They're going to bring a lot of people in. And a lot of those people are going to say that they have an opinion on the case. And if they don't have an opinion on the case, then the lawyers have to worry about, well, are they just saying that? Because worse than having somebody on the jury that has an opinion is having somebody that has an opinion and lied about it, because that means that they're trying to influence things in some way. I mean, you only need to come up with, 12 people, so 15 to 18 people, because you need alternates. And I'm sure they can find that, but it just might not be. It wasn't an easy process this time around, selecting a jury, so it'll just be that much harder for the next time around. It'll also be interesting, too, to see what the charges are in trying it again. Will the Commonwealth go for lesser charges? I would think so, because it's going to be easier to prove. Or attempt to prove, I should say. Also, I got an update from Chris McCarthy. Chris Markey will be in at 9 a.m. to talk about the Karen Reed trial, and Mayor Mitchell, a day early, will be here at 11 to take your phone calls for Midweek with the Mayor. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. So I got to be very honest with you. We don't watch any television in this house other than usually Judge Judy in the afternoon, and I believe the Family Feud. So the only thing I've really heard about this case is something about police being corrupt, blah, blah, blah. I can tell you I haven't seen not 1 minute's worth, because in general, I'm kind of tied up usually between 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. And it's weird to me how the people who heard everything every day, quickly it became the end of the story. They were done, have a good day, and it was over. So I really wonder, what in the heck is going on with that case? And I see the people are extremely passionate. And, there's an ex-employee of WBSM who keeps trying to make this sound like it's an O.J. Simpson trial, and it just really doesn't compute with me. That's just with me personally, and I guess because I don't watch much TV.
Well, I think there's a bit of a, I'll use the word bias, but I don't mean it in a negative way, but there's a bit of a lens for people in Massachusetts to think that this is a bigger story than it may be, because it's the biggest story in Massachusetts. So for us, we're like, oh, this is on par with the OJ trial. But for people who are trial watchers, people who watch the different trials that happen on court TV, they watch the Murdoch trial and Casey Anthony and all that stuff, this is up there with all of those. So in that regard, yeah, this is one of those big trials. But I think this certainly has had people decide things in which they cannot be move to think any differently from, more so than I've ever seen any other trial.
Extremely opinionated. And I had somebody ask me about a week ago my opinion on the internet. They asked me my opinion, and I told them, I says, flat out, I got to be honest with you. I have no opinion because I honestly and truthfully don't know, and I'm not really an easily persuaded guy.
So, I mean, if you lived in Norfolk County, you'd be a prime, you know, jury candidate, but unfortunately, just in the wrong county.
Yeah. Like I said, hopefully they're going to find some people that are kind of in the same boat where I don't know, and it really doesn't much matter to me. I think there are a lot of other bigger things going on in society and in the world that are much more important. And I think that this keeps a good quality amount of people very active, very glued to that TV. And like I said, opinionated. It's amazing to me on how impartial people can be so opinionated.
Well, it'll only build up in intensity too with a retrial. So I got to hold you there because I got to take a break.
Thank you so much, Tim, for taking my call. A great show as always.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You have a great day. And we will take more calls, 508-996-0500. But I do have to take a break. But that's a real thing that I noticed with this case. And Phil Devitt and I have talked about it in the hallway. People are so locked into their opinions and what they think. And they're not changing from any of it. Anyway, I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
Mixed reaction to Donald Trump's partial Supreme Court victory. Your 4th of July cookout will cost more this year, and while you could soon be hearing a lot more, Tom Petty.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump's partial victory in the Supreme Court over immunity is sparking intense reaction from both parties. The justices ruled 6-3. Trump has limited immunity in the federal election interference case for acts he took while in office. President Biden says it sets, quote, a dangerous precedent. And a former U.S. Capitol Police officer who was on duty during January 6th says Trump is the single greatest threat to democracy. Harry Dunn joined a call with the Biden campaign yesterday, slamming the Supreme Court decision.
I was there when Donald Trump encouraged a mob of supporters to march on the Capitol to try to overturn the results of a free and fair election. I remember it clearly while they were beating officers with flags.
Possible Trump VP pick Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, meanwhile, calling the court's decision a massive win. And Trump advisor Alina Habba says the ruling means Trump's election interference case has hit a roadblock.
I don't see how this case could go forward before the election.
A further delay in the case means Trump will be free to campaign and not be holed up in a courtroom. But the ruling doesn't impact Trump's upcoming sentencing in his New York hush money case on July 11th. The judge in that case could sentence Trump to prison or home confinement. Beryl is on its way to the Caribbean islands as a Category 5 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 165 miles per hour.
We've never seen a Category 5 hurricane this early in our records, and it poses quite a significant threat to portions of the Central Caribbean over the next couple of days.
Eric Blake, senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center in Miami, says Beryl is forecast to pass near Jamaica tomorrow and the Cayman Islands on Thursday. Florida is spared from this one, but he says this serves as a strong reminder to get prepared and have a hurricane plan in place. July 1st brought a whole host of new laws around the country. Tammy Trujillo has more.
Rules about guns, public higher education, and even pets took effect on July 1st in Virginia. Lucia's law will make it a felony for a parent or guardian if a child gets a hold of a firearm after they've been notified they pose a threat to themselves or others. Also, public higher education institutes will no longer be allowed to give preferential treatment in admissions because of legacy status. In other school news, American Sign Language will count as a foreign language credit in Mississippi high schools. In Indiana, a law lifting a ban on happy hours at bars takes effect. And in Florida, it's now legal to shoot and kill bears in self-defense. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The price of a 4th of July cookout is higher this year. A report from the American Farm Bureau Federation puts the average cost of feeding 10 people at $71.22. That's about $3.50 more than last year. And Tom Petty's estate signing a deal to distribute the late singer's music catalog. Petty recorded more than 13 studio albums with the Heartbreakers and 3 solo albums over his 40-year career. The Petty estate said in a statement that the deal will open the door to new licensing opportunities for Petty's music.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox seeking their second win in a row. Boston beginning a 3-game set against the Miami Marlins tonight in Florida with the first pitch at 6:40.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Expect wall-to-wall sunshine for today, right from the start. Temperatures are going to respond to that sunshine, too. Look for a high near 83. Overnight tonight, mostly clear, your low near 55. And as we look to Wednesday, it's going to be beautiful. Mostly sunny skies, your South Coast high near 84. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Of course, 80s wrestling fans will remember that. But I should have played some Tom Petty there. And what's interesting about that Tom Petty deal is when you think about it, you don't really hear Tom Petty's music everywhere. And you think to yourself, why? Why doesn't this guy get more love? Why isn't it used in commercials? Why isn't it used? And it's because they weren't licensing it for that. Now, you also can get to the point where it becomes too much. So hopefully they keep a strong hand on it and they don't let it get oversaturated. Because I think we've all had that happen where we've seen artists get oversaturated and we're like, oh man, I love the song, but now I can't hear it anymore because it's everywhere. I feel that way about Sweet Caroline. Red Sox fans ruined that song for me. And I was, you know, I was with my parents in the car the other day, and Cracklin' Rosie came on the radio, and I said, you know, there's so many other better songs by Neil Diamond than Sweet Caroline. My dad just kind of gave me this weird look in the rearview mirror. So I don't know. Maybe I'm letting my feelings toward it get polluted. But the Beatles famously would not allow their songs to be used for commercials and things like that. And then when the catalog got sold, then all of a sudden you started hearing Beatles songs in commercials. It was that Nike commercial was the first one to use a Beatles song. They used Revolution. And then they had another one that had, years later, Instant Karma, which is a John Lennon song, but it was the Beatles' reluctance to let their music be licensed. And now, look, it's been everywhere. They had a Rock Band game. And did it hurt the integrity of the Beatles? No. No, I think if anything, it brought the Beatles into younger generations. Not that they wouldn't have found them anyway, but certainly having that music licensed for other purposes brought them in. There's been multiple movies based around Beatles music. You know, everybody loved that movie Yesterday, which was an okay movie. But I thought Across the Universe was much better. wasn't for everybody. But I really enjoyed that movie. In fact, when that movie came out, I had a PSP, the portable PlayStation there, or PlayStation Portable, and that would play games or movies. And the only movie that I had was Across the Universe, because I would just sit there and watch that, like when I was supposed to be cooking at the diner. I'd have my PSP playing that movie. So, I don't know. Are we going to get Tom Petty the musical? Are we going to get, you know, movies based on Tom Petty songs? Tom Petty did do a movie soundtrack. He did the She's the One soundtrack, which had Walls, which was one of his best songs. Just not as popular, not played as much. One artist that I'm sorry I never got a chance to see live was Tom Petty. And I would have really loved to have seen the Traveling Wilburys. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. Again, coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, when South Coast Now begins, Chris McCarthy is going to have Chris Markey in to talk about the Karen Reed mistrial. And they'll take your phone calls on that. Obviously, as someone who has been both a prosecutor and a defense attorney, Chris Markey can give you insight into that like nobody else. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that. And he will have the mayor on at 11 today. So gonna guess maybe the mayor is taking a couple days off for the holiday. So he's coming in today. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, all right. Okay, let me put this down. I don't know if you can answer this question, but I know in the World Series, this is a Celtics question. In the World Series, when a team wins, they got each player, coach has got a certain share. Do they do that in pro basketball? And if they do, what would the Celtics share be? You have any idea about that?
I believe they do. I don't know what the share would be.
Okay.
But I believe that they do get a playoff share because it's and then a lot of them also have in their contracts, you know, like bonuses for reaching certain rounds of the playoffs and bonuses for getting, you know, like Jaylen Brown probably got a bonus for being finals MVP, things like that.
Right. I know. But I was just wondering if they did that in basketball and how much it would. I bet it'd be a lot of money. That's why I was trying to see if you knew that. Okay. That's the question.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can find out any more, but I know off the top of my head that I'm pretty sure that they do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
And a lot of those bonuses, by the way, that are brought in for these players are because their contracts are based on their season. You know, so they get a little extra for the playoffs. They get a little extra for winning a championship because they're bringing in extra revenue. They're bringing in extra ratings. They're bringing in extra advertising dollars. So they should get a share of that. They should get a portion. But it's usually not really significant amounts of money compared to the rest of their contracts. But for the last guy on the roster, it could mean a significant amount of money for them. But then again, when I was covering the NBA and covering pro sports in general, they weren't signing players to $300 million contracts like the Celtics now have two players signed to $300 million contracts because Jaylen Brown's kicks in next season and then Jason Tatum's will kick in the season after that. But imagine that. Imagine having a business that makes so much money that you can just pay two of your employees, two of the people that work for you, $300 million each. 508-996-0500. Really quickly, I got an app chat message here from Sketty. She says, good morning. I saw an article that Ariel did on drive-in movies in Taunton. Are there any other areas that are doing that? And are there any real drive-ins left? I mean, there's places that you could say kind of qualify as a drive-in in terms of the restaurant version of drive-in, but that's what this is. This is the Star Drive-In, which is the restaurant version of a drive-in, but they're also in the summertime running movies, which makes it the movie version of a drive-in. But if you're asking, are there movie drive-ins left over? Yes, there are a few. There's the Mendon Twin. There's the one on the Cape. Is it in Eastham? Wellfleet Drive-In on the Cape. And then I guess the closest one here locally, maybe about an hour from New Bedford, is the one in Smithfield, Rhode Island, the Rustic Drive-In, which has a sign that is famously shaped like male genitalia because it used to be an adult film drive-in. But that's where you can go to see drive-in movies here locally. It's probably the closest one is to go to. And it's a place that is beloved by people. I mean, there's people who will only go to see movies there. So I guess they do a really good job. I've never gone. I haven't been to a drive-in since I was a kid. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. I was just wondering, did I hear correctly about Freestone's closing?
Yes, they have closed permanently.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And if you do have a gift card for Freestone's, they said that stay tuned. They will have an announcement about what to do with those. Because the people involved in that own other restaurants, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, you know, you can use it at these other places instead. But I don't know that for sure. They said that an announcement is forthcoming. But yes, Freestone's has closed permanently. And hopefully someone else can purchase it and bring it back. 508-996-0500. Let's take our next break. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, we will go right back to the phones in just a moment. But before we do that, we've got full phone lines. We do have one line open at 508-996-0500. But before that, I just want to let you know, because, again, it's going to be a nice sunny day. Not too hot, not too humid. But sunny makes me think of solar. It makes me think of solar energy. Not only because, hey, the sun's out, but also because we've got our air conditioners running, right? And we're thinking about trying to save money. And you're going to get all those businesses that knock on your door trying to sell you solar panels. There's a variety of different companies that are going to knock on your door and try and sell you solar panels. And they might come and knock on your door at 9 o'clock at night, as we found out last week. Well, I can tell you, Isaacson Solar, they will never, ever knock on your door with a sales pitch. They will only come to your house if you ask them to come to your home, which you can do by going to their website, isaacsonsolar.com. You can set up an appointment for them to come and talk to you when it works for you. Not knocking on your door at 9 p.m., not interrupting you during dinner, coming and talking to you when it works for you, taking a look at your home, letting you know if solar panels are right for your home, and if they are, giving you a free, no-obligation quote. They will sit with you. They will answer every question that you have about solar. And if you still decide that you don't want to do it or you're just not sure yet, that's fine too. They won't have any hard feelings, but they want to be the company that can give you those simple, honest, transparent answers. They don't want to give you the sales pitch. They don't want to give you the door knocking and the pamphlet and all of that. That's not who they are. So if you want to find out more, just go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. All right, let's go back to our phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
I think the last drive-in, the old school drive-in closest to us was the Ponta over there in Tiverton, just after the Fall River line.
Mm-hmm.
I think that closed not long before COVID. The Rustic Drive-In, I go by it every time we have a home game because it's like 6 minutes away from our field in North Smithfield.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 62 years old, so I grew up when that was still going on pretty strong and pretty crazy. And as far as the Cameron Reed trial, right toward the end, just before they started doing the closings on both sides, I was starting to feel like there was more questions than answers because there were so many things that were either just outrageous or the behaviors. I believe right then that it was going to become a hung jury. And it's sad. And if they go back at her in a minimum, I think they're going to get her for the OUI.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely go for lesser charges. But, you know, Chris Markey will be in. He knows far better than I do about that kind of stuff. So you definitely want to listen to what he has to say.
So this is my new phone number. You're used to the other one I had for like 5 or 6 years. This is my new one. So when you see it on the panel.
All right, I'll make sure to know then to skip over it. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing.
I know you would do that anyway, but you would just fit for good ratings because you know I bring in good ratings.
you do. All right, you have a good day, Phil.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Take care. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, I want to tell you that I hate you.
Okay.
Because for 3 years, I worked in Woonsocket, and I drove by that drive-in theater twice a day. And I never realized the shape of that sign. Now I have to drive all the way back out there and see what it is.
I mean, you don't have to drive all the way out there. You can Google it. There's
really?
There's enough images of it online, yeah.
I just listened. I said, I didn't notice anything about that sign.
You know what's funny is I drove by there with my parents the other day on Sunday, and they had never... Like, they never realized that either. I mentioned to my dad, I was like, what does that sign look like to you? And he's looking at it and he goes, I don't know. And then I told him, he goes, oh, geez. Like,
well, how old is your dad?
60. He'll be 67 next week. Week after next.
I got beat. I'm 71. I guess us old folks don't pick up on that.
What does it say about me, though, that I know and nobody else does?
Well, a deviated young kid. That's what it is.
Okay.
A pervert.
I read it on the internet. I never went there when it was that kind of theater. I read it on the internet.
Oh, that was so funny. I just wanted to share that with you. I said, I gotta go now and look at this thing. Oh, good. I can go online at least.
I just hope it wasn't called the Rustic back then, because, you know, like, what was wrong with them that they had rust on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard stories about it being like, a dirty film place and stuff, but I had never gone out there. I live down here, and I just happened, like I said, I worked out there for 3 years, and I'm like, every day I drive by that, going and coming, I never picked up on it. All right then, brother. Well, thank you for bringing that up, and you have yourself a great day.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And yes, I'm sorry if I ruin anybody's childhood out there or anything like that. But yeah, no, that's what it is. I mean, again, it could just be urban legend, but that's what I've read, is that that's what that is on the sign. Because otherwise, it doesn't really make any sense, right? It's an odd looking sign until somebody says that to you. I got to take my final break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. With the mistrial declared yesterday and the DA's office saying they are going to retry Karen Reed, what happens now? Will it be lesser charges? I would think it would have to be. Will it be a plea deal for Karen Reed? Didn't sound like that'd be a possibility based on what her attorneys were saying. But I guess maybe it depends on what those lesser charges are. So, again, Chris Mark can give you more insight than I can. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. I didn't consult any lawyers. I just talk out of my rear end. And so for me, I would say, if you are the defense and you say, well, we obviously had some people on the jury. You don't know how many, but we obviously had some people on the jury. So why would we take a plea deal? But now you've got to find 12 people plus some alternates to be able to serve on another jury that don't have any preconceived notions about this case, or if they do, that won't let them influence how they hear the evidence. That's going to be very hard for something that got so many headlines. So we can talk more about that as the time goes on, but you'll be talking about it with Chris and Chris coming up. And then, of course, the mayor at 11. What's he taking, 2 days off for the holiday? So, he'll be here at 11 o'clock to take your phone calls and your questions as well. I'll be back tomorrow. I won't be here on Thursday. We're all taking the day off on Thursday, but then we'll be back on Friday. Well, everybody except Barry. Barry used one of his vacation days. He was smart. So Brian will be in for Barry on Friday. But, of course, we'll have all your conversation as you are. Hopefully, still have all 10 of your fingers on Friday morning. But, yeah, that's the plan for this week. And, of course, I hope.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.